Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Wrestling Arena. I'm your host, Paul Barrow, and on today's show, we'll be discussing WWE Backlash France, which I believe is the full name, the AEW Dynasty results, and all the latest happenings from not only the WWE, but AEW, and around the wrestling world. We've got a full chat room tonight. We've got Mr. Priceless, Ministry of Horror, that must be Tez. Hi, how you doing? Fran the Cannon, hi, how are you? Eddie Hickey, always good to see you. So we've got a live and kicking chat room. It's going to be an interesting and good show, I hope. I've gathered together some of the most... I've gathered together some news from the week that has been quite a packed week for news. Where there's been a lot of people thinking about leaving, thinking about staying. There's been movement on the Vince McMahon front, or has there? There's been injury news, but I've gathered together what I consider to be like the most important ones. I don't want to turn the news thing into like three quarters of the show, and have me, you know, just say, oh, so and so is hurt. They don't know what it is. I mean, I could say that for. I know that Julia Hart's hurt, and I know that someone else is hurt that I can't think of the name of right now. Oh God, Hobbs is hurt. But like, there's not much more to say other than that in the news story. So I might as well just tell you that kind of thing in passing. Not that I don't wish them a healthy and speedy recovery, but. You know, by the time you've read the headline for that piece of news, the story is over. So I'm going to try and make it stuff that I can actually talk about. Those are going to be the big news pieces. So we have talk about the draft in the chat room. We'll certainly be getting to that. And what I thought of that particular episode. I know that it continues on Monday, but first of all, I will talk about the news that I have gathered from this week in the world of professional wrestling. The first piece of news that I would like to talk about is that Drew McIntyre is staying with WWE. The Rock posted on Instagram that Drew McIntyre had re-signed with WWE. Fightful Select, which is where I get my news, so I'll once again give them the plug. I think it's about $5 a month, and they're usually very good with... I don't like to not give people props when I'm talking about their news sources. So, Fightful Select also independently confirmed this. WWE finally reached out to extend Drew McIntyre's deal in March, and it was finalised recently. We're told that there was a lot of back and forth, and McIntyre was happy with the outcome and how it affects his family. Fightful is told it is a multi-year, big money deal, as many of the new contracts will be. We're told more expected to be finished or announced. McIntyre's WWE deal would have been up within a month. So, I'm extremely happy for Drew McIntyre to be making this money. This new character has really revitalised him. It's really made me think, like, oh, Drew's got a lot more than I realised. Like, I always thought he was a good wrestler, but I thought that whole run he had during the pandemic in front of no fans, I thought that was the big thing they were going to give him, and he was never going to get to that kind of level again. I thought he maybe like trotted out in front of UK fans and treated like, oh, almost like the British Bulldog was back in the day, where they'd give him a big match and be like, maybe he'll win. Tune in and find out. But it really seems like they're treating him like a big deal, which good for him because he's worked really hard. So I would say that Clash in the Castle, which is happening at the Hydro in Scotland, he will probably be the main event for that. I'd imagine he'll go for the world title, Damian Priest. Because I can't see him going for Cody. But the question is, if you do go for Priest, do you have Priest lose so quickly? And if you don't have Priest lose, then do you have McIntyre go for that top title at all? Because you don't want Clash of the Castle to be the Drew McIntyre loses show every time he turns up. But it's very interesting to think that he, you know, people were saying, oh, he might be going away. There was certainly interest from AEW, but I still find it really weird that they're leaving the contract so late. Whether that's a common practice in the world of MMA, which is why TKO are doing it, I don't know. It's just a very, very, very strange, because usually it would be like you're locked down for another 2 years before your last year is even concluded. But it does make things more interesting, especially with the American FTC. I believe it's the FTC. They have supposedly banned non-compete clauses, which a lot of businesses are now gearing up to fight in court. So whether or not that will go through is interesting, because if it does, of course, that then means that any talent that is let go from WWE could immediately turn up on TNA or NWA or AEW, and it could be like the early 90s before things really heated up, where there were no non-compete clauses. It was just like, oh, you're gone, and the next day you can turn up on another program completely unannounced, like Lex Luger did on the first Nitro. But I think it's very good that McIntyre himself signed for WWE, because I think he's going to get the best use there. I think the top of the card in AEW is going to be, if not already is, very crowded. Speaking of people who were let go from WWE, we did talk a few of them last week, and I noted that there were not very many names that I thought were going to make big impacts. Like, they'd already been slotted into their position, and they weren't really going to continue on from that, at least in my opinion. But Cameron Grimes, also known as Trevor Lee in TNA and on the Indies, he was released, and I'll read the story. It's Cameron Grimes was unfortunately the latest WWE release. This is 4 days ago. Grimes revealed on April 23rd that WWE called him and informed him of his release. Fightful Select reiterated this week that despite it being reported by other outlets, we'd not confirm the releases were done, or if and when there would be more. Von Wagner, Surav Veer, Jinder Mahal, Zia Lee, and Zion Quinn were also released. We're told that Cameron Grimes' release was unexpected by many in the company for various reasons. One was that his skill set and track record did not match with others that were cut from the company. While he'd been in WWE for over 5 years, he'd gotten over NXT and seemed to constantly improve in the ring. Another reason the release was a surprise was that Grimes was at last week's SmackDown and actually a regular at TV, even when he wasn't being used. Grimes is expected to get booked heavily outside of WWE on the independent circuit, with numerous top indies already indicated to Fightful that they plan on booking him. This guy put out a video showing that I've been released. You know, I'm upset about it. He also, but the next day, said that someone in the company had said, "Oh, you'll always have a job here. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get released." And then the day after that, he was released. So that's pretty bad. I also think it's really, I think he's a loss. Like, not a major loss. It's not like losing someone like, you know, Drew McIntyre or another recent signee in Finn Balor has re-signed. So it's not like a major loss, but he did get over with that like stock market gimmick, which I thought was ridiculous. I was like, that's never going to get over, no way. And then he had that feud with LA Knight over the $1 million championship, And I thought that stuff was really good. So when he got called up and then they just didn't use him, I assumed it was because there was a power struggle going on backstage, and because Cameron Grimes, I keep going to call him Cameron Graves, Cameron Grimes was like a Triple H guy. Maybe it was like, we'll keep him off TV until Triple H gets in more control, and during maybe the draft, we'll push him up to a bigger status. It's really, because I think he had it. I think Trevor Lee is a great wrestler, and I think his ability to get even the most ridiculous stuff over was, he was good at it. But when you look at, like I said, that feud with LA Knight, when you look at where Cameron Grimes is, and you look at where LA Knight is right now, I do feel kind of bad for the guy. Now, hopefully, he's another success story where he goes to the indies, makes a massive name for himself, and WWE come knocking again, because he pretty much said, I only want to work for WWE, it's all I've ever wanted to do for my entire life, which is, in all fairness, it's never a good thing to say, is it? Because when you do go into contract negotiations, they've heard you say, like, I really want to work here, so they can lowball you. Not that I'm saying they would, but I've never understood the people that sort of, oh, WWE's always been my dream. I mean, heck, they get a lot of characters saying that on TV, and it's like, no, never say WWE's your dream. You should say, WWE are lucky to have me because I'm amazing, and boost yourself up rather than a company. So yeah, I hope he does well, Cameron Grimes. I think that he's firing, and I'm not saying the other people, you know, deserve to be fired or anything, but I could certainly see, like, they've gone as far as they can go in this version of themselves. Eddie Hickey asking, where do I think he's going to go? I think he's going to go to back to TNA. I think he'll be a big deal there. I think AEW is too overstuffed for anything. If he wants to just disappear forever, he could just sign with the NWA. Because I don't hear anyone ever talking about the NWA. I rarely think about the NWA until somebody says, oh, my contract's off, I want to go somewhere else. I think he can go to TNA. I think it'll be a big deal there. And I think he'll do okay. I think he'll, you know, it'll be like a Naomi situation, hopefully. He's only 30 years old. Blimey, makes me feel old, that does. But, like, you know, there's plenty of time for that guy to have a nice 5-year run on the indies or in TNA or even a 3-year run, and WWE to come back and be like, okay, now we've got plans for you, we've got space for you. But right now, if you just sat backstage doing nothing, I'd rather be out on the indies and creating something like a Matt Cardona did, where he's created this whole King of the Indies, the Deathmatch King kind of persona. And, you know, he's totally, he's not Zack Ryder to me anymore. He is like Matt Cardona, the guy who, you know, wore the Universal Championship, a toy version, to GCW and got just pelted with rubbish. But yeah, Fran the Cannon saying, yeah, I heard he'd been reassured the day before he's let go that he wasn't up for the chop. Mr. Priceless, lost in the shuffle on main roster. Quick win over Corbin, then backwards a bit. NXT and the LA Knight feud, and goddamn DiBiase. Safe bet back to TNA. Lee versus Ali would be great fun. No, I agree with that. Also, TNA has a good friend of Trev's, Matt Hardy. I don't think Matt Hardy is long for TNA. I think he's in there until Jeff's contract runs out, and they're gonna turn around and try and get back into WWE for one final run. I'm not sure how wise that would be on behalf of WWE. But I think that's going to happen, because I think Matt Hardy's on a per appearance. Eddie Hickey in the chat talking about Tony Khan is talking about thinking about debuting people who've just been released from WWE. And later on, I think I spotted this earlier, Jinder Mahal, but I don't actually know. I can't see him booking Jinder. I can't see it. You don't want to book people of... And there's not, got nothing against Jinder Mahal. He's not a bad guy. He's not even a terrible wrestler. But his status within the wrestling industry is a guy that WWE just let go. And he doesn't have, like, he's not an amazing winning character. He was a 6-month WWE champion, which is fair enough, I guess, on your CV. But it wasn't a well-received championship run. And I think if you bring someone like Jinder Mahal in, as he is now, I think you run the risk of becoming TNA, where they just bring in, like, Chris Masters is here. Why? Because he's just got let go from WWE, and we hire anyone from WWE. I think the last thing AEW need to be doing is hiring more talent, as I've been saying for, you know, the last however many years. But it's really weird. It's a strange thing to think that someone of Cameron Grimes' ability just kind of disappeared the moment they got bought up. Now, I want to talk about this really strange thing that's kind of happened, and it's from the Metro, and I'm going to read the headline alone. Politicians force WWE into shock U-turn over WrestleMania future. I love stupid headlines like that. It's true that WWE have previously said that the Big Four are going to be in North America and Canada. And Sadiq Khan recently said that... Let me see if I can find it. London is a world leader in major sports events and has been at the heart of some of the most memorable sporting moments of the last few decades. From the Olympics to the Lionesses winning the Euros at Wembley to the Ashes at Lords and the Oval, London is where it's at. According to My London, he added, if I'm re-elected on 2nd of May, I'm determined to go even further and fully cement London's reputation as the undisputed sports capital of the world. I believe that London has the potential to hold the first international WrestleMania. And I was like, okay, no problem. Obviously, he's looking to get re-elected. He's going to say, he's a politician. He's going to say whatever to get re-elected. That's a politician. But the interesting thing I thought was the reply on Twitter of Triple H saying, let's talk. I can't see it happening. I cannot see it happening. It's just WWE expect a lot of money for WrestleMania. Like, cities and states in the US bid for WrestleMania. And I don't think we are used to having to buy things to come here. And it would be a massive boost to some level of tourism. I think you'd probably make your money back, but I don't think we want to set the precedent, really, of buying an event to come to London. I do find it interesting, however, that not only have we got Triple H saying let's talk, we've had that John Cena coming out at, I think it was Money in the Bank when it was last here, and he talked about a WrestleMania in the UK, and recently Cody Rhodes has said he'd love to see one in the UK. Keep in mind, he was on a UK tour at the time, so he's not going to be like, nah, no, all your fans suck. We're not going to come. Where would you give you Mania? It's just a puff. It's a puff piece. It's a. I think Triple H saying let's talk is them saying, well, we tried. We tried to give you Mania, but like your government don't want to pay for it. You better get on at them. And I find it weird that he dropped WrestleMania as a big thing. You know, I suppose it is. It's a big event, but It's the wrong time of year to be booking Wembley. And you're not going to put it anywhere else. Maybe Cardiff. But it's very strange to think like to think that they're looking at it like this. I don't think it will happen. If it does happen, I expect the tickets to be, well, if it does happen, it'll be in a stadium, so tickets will probably be reasonable at a point, because the Clash at the Castle at the Hydro, it's in an arena rather than a stadium, and they've sold it as a package event. You have to get a ticket to SmackDown and Clash at the Castle, so it's like £500. And that's before I read on Twitter someone saying, I've got tickets to Bash in Berlin and a 3-night stay at a hotel for less than it would cost to go to Clash of the Castle Scotland. And don't get me wrong, they'll sell it. They'll sell the tickets. It's just, I shudder to think what they would think about charging for the first overseas WrestleMania. Eddie Hickey, again, I don't know why people are talking about Mania 41, when it's a whole year away. I get the tickets, but at least do it around SummerSlam. That's not enough time to announce where it is, Eddie. That's not enough time, because if it was just Americans going to WrestleMania, cool, no problem. But for international travel, international travellers, there are a lot of people who'd have to save up to go. So you want to announce it. Ideally, they usually announce the next WrestleMania's location at the previous year's WrestleMania, like 41 would have been announced at 40's at 40's event. They would have run an ad saying, "Oh, next year we're going to be here." And Mr. Preuster saying they usually do single tickets later on. Got Money in the Bank literally 2 weeks before the show. That's interesting to know. That's cool. Fran the Cannon, they would bleed fans dry. Yeah, they still haven't announced where 41 is, so there's rumours it's going to be Vegas, which obviously is a big tourist destination anyway. But if I was going to want to go to Vegas, I've got to sort out hotels and that, and that's a long term kind of thing. I can't drop like £3,000 or £4,000. On this, if you start advertising it around SummerSlam, there's not enough time for me to pay it off in installments, which I imagine how a lot of people do it. It's a really, yeah, but it's an interesting idea, but like, would we get the wrestling carnival that happens around WrestleMania? Where you get, you know, not MLW, which is the, who runs the Combine and does the Cluster and Bloodsport. I can't think of their name right now. You know who I'm talking about. They do like GCW, thanks, Fran. And Mr. Price is straight after. There's so many letters in wrestling. Would they like make a trip to another country to run all that stuff, or would it be cost prohibitive to them? Because I can't imagine they make a ton of money off the off stuff like the cluster now and stuff like that. I think it's a prestige thing for them. I think it's like every year we run an amazing series of shows, and that's kind of our centrepiece. Ah, Mr. Priceless, the Collective, do it in the Electric Ballroom. I mean, GCW does have links with Progress and TNT and Defy. That's an interesting idea, but you see what I mean? Are there enough venues for all the little companies to go along? Because don't forget, that if we do get something like GCW come over, you know, local companies are going to want to going to want to do it as well. I doubt stuff like Kaiju Big Battle comes over here to do stuff like that. And Kaiju Big Battle is people dressed up like kaijus and wrestling in like cardboard cities, and it's comedy. But I've heard about it, and it seems quite fun. But yeah, it's a cool idea, and I believe Sethi isn't in the chat room tonight, but we talked on the Discord about possibly Sethi was thinking about running night one here and night two somewhere else. And to my mind, I can understand the urge. They've certainly done stuff like that before, where they ran WrestleMania 2 in three different arenas and stuff like that. They've tried stuff like that. But if I'm going to the first UK WrestleMania and I basically get half the event and I'm not even guaranteed to get my favourite wrestlers on for when I'm paying what I'm assuming would be top dollar, then do I really want to risk spending that money, going there, and then being like, oh, Cody Rhodes is on night two, and that's in, you know, Los Angeles or something. I'd be quite gutted to think I was getting a cut-down experience. The point of it being, like, the first ever non-US or non-North American continent WrestleMania is you're getting actual WrestleMania. You're not getting, the equivalent of the UK Rampage Tour from back in the day, or Rebellion, or any of the Attitude Era pay-per-views that were only exclusive to here, and nothing really happened on them apart from, you know, Stephanie McMahon getting hit with a bin. You've got to do it properly. And I do hope it happens. It would be cool. I just don't think it will. So the next piece I've got is it's from the Wrestling Observer. It's an update on Vince McMahon's public listing of his remaining TKO stock. An SEC filing on Friday evening about Vince McMahon putting up all his remaining TKO stock for sale was reported by some media outlets as new breaking news. However, it was merely the next step in a process that began 2 weeks ago. So we heard about him putting it up into public offers, but it hadn't happened yet. And apparently he has 8,258,887 shares of Class A common stock. Oh, sorry. Basically, he and Nick Khan are selling up a great deal of their stock. If Vince manages to sell all this stock, he will have no stake in TKO ever. And a lot of people were already reporting that he'd done that. It's still in the process of happening, and that's basically he's basically getting out of TKO. Whether he's being told, like, yo, get out, we don't want anything to do with you, you know, take the money and leave. It's a bit worrying that Nick Khan is also doing such a thing, because I think he's the CEO of WWE right now. He's the guy saying, like, you know, he's the spokesperson for the company in a business setting. Triple H is more the spokesperson for the company in a storyline and booking setting. But, you know, Vince has already also done other stuff. He's retained the services of the same law firm that defended Harvey Weinstein. And if I can speak personally, I hope the same thing happens to Vince McMahon that happens to Harvey Weinstein. As in, you know, he's gone away for quite some time. But it's, yeah, basically they've put their stock into like a public offer so that the members of the public can buy that stock, because it's a quicker way to get the money. I think that's quite interesting. The last thing of this is, in today's Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer reported that sources told him that starting a new wrestling promotion is not of interest to McMahon, but he does want to look at other business opportunities in the future. So, that's, because a lot of people were saying he's going to get back into wrestling, and I can't see him getting back into wrestling. Who's going to work for Vince McMahon now? I said it last week. Cena might, because Cena feels he owes him. And, you know, I'm sure several people might who feel they owe a lot to him. But I don't think any new people are going to be like, oh, yeah, let's go and work for that guy with that reputation. He's torpedoed his reputation. But, yeah, Vince looking to get out of the wrestling. Well, he's already out of the wrestling business, but even out of the making money out of the wrestling business, which is always good news because, you know, making Vince McMahon richer is one of the reasons people are staying away from WWE that have got problems with that. And I can understand that. I can understand people being like, I don't want anything to do with that company until it's all cleared out. But it looks like Vince is at least on his way to just leaving. So that is the wrestling news that I have for the week. I feel like I got a decent mix of like business stuff, someone getting fired, someone getting rehired. Van the Cannon dropping Darby Allin apparently got hit by a bus in New York. If the guy can get in an accident crossing the road, I fear whatever Everest would have done with him. I too, because that man's got no fear. That man has no fear. So, you know, all the best to him. I hope he recovers. But he's a special kind of guy, man. He's got that kind of. It's like the guys from Jackass. Like, I could never understand why they did half the stuff they did. And he's, like, on another level to that. So, I'm going to give, basically, my brief thoughts on a lot of AEW Dynasty, because we do have Backlash to talk about, and I do want to talk a little bit about the draft episode of SmackDown. But I feel like I need to give some of my thoughts. I'm not going to go through every match because despite only being a week ago, it feels like about, I don't know what's happened this week, but so much has happened on like TV and stuff like that, that I'm kind of like, was Dynasty like this week, last week? What's going on? So the first thing I want to notice is they had way too many pre-show matches for my liking. You know, I'm all for having a pre-show match, but I thought it was one too many. I think they could have got rid of the Orange Cassidy match. But the first match wasn't the pre-show. It's the six-man tag team match for the AEW and Ring of Honor six-man belts, or the trios belts in the AEW case, in which the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn lost their belts to Bullet Club Gold, as in Jay White and Austin and Colton Gunn. I thought this was going to be a terrible pay-per-view. I thought this was from that match, I was like, oh no, because the crowd seemed dead. The action in the ring was okay, but I don't know what's happened to the Acclaimed. But they have taken a major nosedive in popularity. And I get that you want to, like, keep up with, you know, you want to change things about a bit. And they haven't really altered their, not their gimmick. The gimmick needs to remain the same, but they haven't altered their presentation a lot. There's not really a new kink in the armour. But that being said, that worked wonders for the New Age Outlaws. Their shtick was always the same, you know what I mean? I don't know if it's Max Caster being quite insufferable on Twitter. He just seems to be one of these people that just says stuff to stir up controversy and doesn't realise it's actually harming him. Like, people are not with him like they used to be. I think he went into business for himself a little bit on a rap that he did. Like, he did what I'm assuming was the authorised rap, and then kept going a bit, and it was a lot harsher. A lot of people thought he was going to get suspended or in trouble for that. That hasn't happened. But that does not mean that it was authorised. But I was like, I just was like, what's happened to the Acclaimed? They were like one of the top four acts in the company at one point, and because they haven't managed to stay. Well, to be honest, it's this whole scissor, bang bang scissor gang or whatever it was. You know, that entire thing seems to have gone on for a year, despite it only being a couple of months. It was not a good idea. Kept going. But I was really worried because the crowd weren't with that match at all. And I was like, oh, if this is the crowd we've got, we might be in trouble. But in all fairness to this crowd, they picked up and were loud for a great deal of this card. I thought they'd get burnt out at certain points, and they didn't. So I was very happy to see what they did. I will skip. I thought that I was surprised by some of the matches. Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly I thought was better than I thought it was going to be. FTW rules match for the FTW Championship. Hook lost the title to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is trying to turn fan apathy and fan disinterest into a gimmick, and it's a brave attempt. It really is. But it's too late. Like, he's going to play on the things people are complaining about. Like, people are complaining, oh, he's just going to bring up a new faction. So he started that on Dynamite when Big Bill came up and said, I'm only part of the learning tree. And he's going to play into everyone saying, oh, this is a bad thing, this is a terrible thing. You know, and he's going to do it to spite the audience in like a knowing way, but I don't know if it's going to work for me personally. Now, I did see, where I heard it, but I heard a great idea for Jericho that I wish they'd done instead, where Jericho tries to start a new faction, and you see him every week going around backstage and like chatting to people and being like, oh, join my new faction, and everyone were like, oh no. No, I don't. I know what you do to young talent. You just abandon them when they don't suit you. I'll stay away, thank you. And like, have a couple of months of that, where he just can't find like new up and comers. So then maybe he teams up with some of the older people. Like, you know, maybe him and Christian team up, and it's like, well, if all these young guys won't follow us, then we'll form our own group and we'll show you that we've still got a lot to go. But I thought it'd be quite funny to watch Jericho try and put together another group, another inner circle, another Jericho Appreciation Society, only to have people like, nah, we're onto your game. We know we'll only be your lackeys. I thought that'd be pretty cool. Robert Dinkins in the chat saying Jericho is doing a spoof on CM Punk. That could be what he's doing. Mr. Priceless, talking about Jay White in the previous match that I talked about. Jay White, he was a top guy in Japan, nothing but stuck in a group. Four mid-card titles. The Acclaimed has been a bloody comedy act. Fun, but the Billy Gunn stuff has a shelf life. Yes, another thing in that six-man match is Billy Gunn no-sold a bat shot? It was silly. And I was quite worried because he'd already beaten Jay White previously on TV and people were not happy. But we'll see where the Jericho thing goes. I thought the match, to be honest, I thought the match they had with Hook, like, Jericho tried really hard. Like, it wasn't a bad match. It's just I don't want him around right now. Take 6 months off. Refresh yourself. Let me, like, be like, oh, I haven't seen Jericho in a while. But he's constantly retreading the inner circle, and I don't want to see that anymore. Even as like a wink and a nod to that, I'm done. Like, Jericho's been a guy I've followed for most of the time I've watched wrestling. I started in like 1990 or around there. Like, I think 90 when I started, and 92 was when it really took over properly over here. And I've pretty much followed wrestling continuously through then. So I've followed Jericho since about 96, 97. And he has taken breaks. He's been smart enough to take breaks where he's gone off and done, you know, Fozzy, say what about them. You know, he's tried to do that. Although he's had to relent because it used to be, you know, he'd come out onto Fozzy shows and be like, ah, this isn't a wrestling thing. This is a Fozzy show. And now, like, you see crowds at Fozzy shows and they've all got, like, championship belts and stuff. And it's just one of those. Mr. Priceless, if anything, Brian Myers deserves some royalties. He had a fact in TNA called The Learning Tree. A rare TNA did it first on that one. I see, at that point I wasn't watching TNA, so I always liked Brian Myers' like gimmick name of the most professional wrestler. Fan the Cannon. Oh no, it's just occurred to me that he starts his Learning Tree stuff the same week as Grizzled Young Veterans appeared. I'm getting flashbacks to them getting caught in Gacy's Spizzin Tree guff and becoming the Dyad. They will never do that gimmick again. They hated that. I get the feeling if they can't be the Grizzled Young Veterans, they'll just go somewhere else. They want to be the Grizzled Young Veterans, and that's what they're going to do. It was good to see them this week on Collision, but I can't see them. They've come out repeatedly and said we hated every second of that. We hated doing it. We hate doing that kind of gimmick. That's not us. It doesn't feel right for us. So I can't see them. I can't see them doing that. But I guess we'll see who Jericho gets into his little group. I can bet Sammy Guevara is going to come back and be one of them. But other than that, I guess we don't know. I imagine that Big Bill is going to be playing the Jake Hager role. So they do need a tag team. I'm just wondering who it could be. Maybe Top Flight will come in or Private Party. It's got to be a young, high-flying team. It's very weird. But yeah, I thought the match was pretty good. I thought the match was pretty good. So then I'll move on to... I'll skip the six-man with the House of Black. It was good, but six-mans with the House of Black are always going to be good. I thought that Julia Hart did very well in the House Rules match, considering her injury. And, you know, the fact that she couldn't really do much. They hid that quite well. Happy that Willow got the TBS Championship. And pleased that after the match that the announce team were saying that Mercedes Moné is kind of robbing Willow of a moment here. I am now beginning to think that maybe they're smart enough to turn Mercedes heel. And that'll be the thing. She'll join up with Stokely Hathaway. I think that's the way. That's the way to go. With that, the Continental Championship match was great. I was quite worried that was going to be like match of the night. Well, I wasn't worried that was going to be match of the night, but I thought it was really good. And I thought, you know, after that, are the crowd just going to be burnt out? You know, is it going to be too much? You know, you don't want to kill this crowd when you've got another few matches that are supposed to be big matches. And into fairness with them, they did not die out during this show. That crowd, once they started going, they were in. Because I thought the Paco Carter match was really good, but it wasn't the reason I bought the pay per view, obviously. But I was very impressed. And I know it's ridiculous because Pac's great and Okada's great, but it's whether or not Okada can convince people to not cheer him. And the spot where he did the Rainmaker pose, but instead of holding his arms out, he gave the crowd the middle finger, and they were chatting F Okada. I thought, yep, he knows how to do it. So it's whether or not you can keep him heel, because people want to cheer him. Then we had the ladder match for the tag team championships. The Young Bucks obviously won, as I thought they would. We had the return of Jack Perry to, you know, quite a loud reaction. I hope it lasts for him, because his whole gimmick relies on a guy who isn't in the, like, relies on people being annoyed at a guy who isn't in the company. It's weird to think that, like, if he's not for that, he's still floundering a bit. And obviously they run a big angle during TV, which I'll talk about after I've talked about the pay-per-view. So we got Jack Perry back. He helped the Young Bucks win the World Tag Team Championships. Smart thing, considering they're the guys with the new gimmick. They've turned heel. And you've got that going for you. The Women's World Championship was fine, but entirely predictable. Then we had Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. The reason I bought the pay-per-view, I believe the first match announced for the pay-per-view. And that was really, really good. I had a moment during that match. I talk about moments a lot where it's like, if I have a moment, it's like I forget what wrestling is for just a split second, and I'll be like, ooh, on a kick out, like a proper, not like, oh, that was a good spot, or that was, you know, that was interesting, or that was well done, but oh, I thought that was the end. A lot of the times I can pick up the end and I can see it going. It was really good. My problem with, not so much problem, but my criticism of Will Ospreay back in the day when he was working the UK indie scene, and even to a point that famous kind of video with Ricochet, was it was all awesome. It looked amazing, but it didn't, a lot of the times, look like they were trying to win a wrestling match. And I don't mean to sound like Vader or Jim Cornette or any of the people that are like, that's not wrestling. Obviously, people love that stuff, so why wouldn't you do it? But he's managed to add in, and he's done it for years, but there's always that worry that he's going to put too much flash into the match and not enough, you know, wrestling. And I thought this was a superb showcase of, like, a little bit of mat wrestling, a little bit of striking, some aerial stuff. And it caught me, and I was like, yes, this is really good. The immediate cries of greatest match to ever happen in the US, about 20 seconds after it finished, are a bit much, you know. Was it a great match? Yeah. Like, I've gone back and watched that. But it's everyone's so quick to declare something either the worst thing ever or the best thing ever. And believe me, I'd say that you need to go out of your way to see this match. It was that good. It's just, you know, tell me it was a great, amazing match. Don't immediately call it the greatest thing to ever happen in the US. That's hyperbole for anything. Hyperbole, rather. I'm always going to say hyperbole first because, Mr. Bryce's, and I fell asleep through of all things. It's worth watching. If you got the pay per view, then I'd go back and watch that. But that was match of the night for me. I did worry about how Joe and Swerve Strickland were going to stack up to it. But they did a it was a very good match. I don't think it was. It wasn't as good as Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson, and it in ring work wise, I don't think it was quite as good as Kazuchika Okada versus Pac. And these are obviously my opinions. Like, I'm not coming here saying I'm Dave Meltzer or I'm whoever. Like, Dave Meltzer's stuff's opinions. So, like, you can think that, you know, the pre-match show from Trent Barretta and Matt Sydal was the best match on that night. And you're allowed to think that, and I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, you're wrong. You're allowed to think what you want to think. But they did a really... Like, the World Championship match did a really admirable job of keeping that crowd going and not letting them burn out. And they did the right thing. They let Swerve Strickland win. And he's now the new AEW World Champion. Right. So, before I get onto WWE, I want to talk a little bit about the TV for AEW. Because, first things first, they have Swerve come out and have a competitive match with the ROH TV champion. Is the ROH TV champion? What's his name now? I can't think of his name. Oh, God. We've got to... Kyle Fletcher, thank you. That's a... You know, to me, the problem with AEW is everyone's like a good worker in the ring. You might not like what the style they're doing, but the style, if they're doing like a comedy style, they're a good comedy wrestler. If they're doing a high flying style, they're a good high flying wrestler. But you can't have your newly crowned first run world champion have a competitive match first time out. I'm not saying he's to squash someone, but it can't be so 50-50. To me, he needed to take more of that match. Mr. Priceless talking about, I'm assuming, Ospreay Danielson, saying people are saying it was better than Mania Cody Roman, the feud with a long built or a dream match. CK clicks fingers, here you go, cue the Tribalist piece online. I have the only problem I have with the Mania match, I don't think it was as good as last year's, and I think they structured it in reverse. For me, I would have rather had the Bloodline try and interfere immediately, all the run-ins happened to take the Bloodline out, and then had the match, if you know what I mean. But to me, the match happened, then a load of run-ins happened, and then the finish happened. If they'd have switched the run-ins and the match, it would have been like, now everything's been taken out, and now it's just Cody and Roman. And it felt almost like they didn't get forgotten, but there was a stretch there where it was like, wait, who's in this match? You know, obviously we know, but it's like if you were just watching it and you hadn't figured all the storyline, I think that they kind of got lost a little bit where they had to wait for people to do their stuff. Robert Dinkins has got to go. See you next week. I didn't look at it. I don't think it was bad. I don't think the Mania match was bad. Don't get me wrong. And I wish stuff like Danielson Ospreay had more story, because it did have a story. Its story was, which of us is the best? Which is a fine story you can tell, you know, quite often, but not hopefully not too often. It's simply a story that AEW tell a lot. This is a match between two great wrestlers. Yeah, well, everyone in your roster is a great wrestler of some kind. There aren't many people that in AEW where they turn around and I go, oh, not this guy. You know, in ring, people are mostly all right. But I really, you know, we've got Swerve Strickland has a one-on-one kind of match with Carl Fletcher. And Carl Fletcher's great, but he needed to lose quick. Swerve needed to be like, I am the world champion. It's done. Like, not get humiliated or anything, but it was a lot more give and take than I would have done. And the only other real thing on Dynamite that I can think of is obviously the closing angle where the Elite took out Tony Khan. And don't do this. Don't make Tony Khan an on-air character. If you can help it. And I'm not going to have a go at his selling, because people tore his selling apart online. You know, he didn't bend where he got hit. He didn't fall over correctly. It's like, yeah, do you remember, like, most of Vince's stunners? I'm not just talking the last one. But, like, you know, it's just one of those. And it's... They need to be careful, because I get what they're doing. They're setting up a Blood and Guts. They're setting up a Blood and Guts where it's going to be the Bucks, Jack Perry, and they'll find somebody. And then you'll have... I'm assuming Kenny's back soon. He's on TV next week. He's been fired from the Elite, and Hangman's been suspended from the Elite. Oh, we've got Okada as well, obviously. You know, I think they're setting up a Blood and Guts. I did think they were setting up to run Kenny and Hangman back against the Bucks, because that's a tag match that people love. I thought they would do a big. It's one of those. It's one of those things. I did like Tony wearing the neck brace at the NFL draft, which was pretty funny. You know, nice kayfabe keeping there, Tony. Nobody's buying it, because all the commentators are like giggling and saying, "Oh, I hope he's all right." You know, I hate to anybody taking a pole driver. It's got to be really dangerous, tongue in cheek. But I think they're sitting up for Blood and Guts. I think it'll be, you know, Jack Perry, the Young Bucks, Okada versus FTR, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Adam Page. I think that's how it'll go. The wisdom of putting Kenny Omega straight into a Blood and Guts match is probably, you know, not an amazing thing, but I expect a beatdown next week of Kenny Omega. So that's where I think they're going with this storyline. They just need to keep Tony out of it. You know, Tony's been hurt. They can say, we run the company now. They can give... Yes, I did see that fan in the cannon. The funny part was you had Pat McAfee hosting a draft event, and he mentioned TK being hurt after a Meltzer driver. Real world's Clyde moment. Yeah, I apologise for the dogs barking. My neighbours have, I'm assuming, 10 dogs, and it's impossible to get them to not do this. So I apologise for any background barking you might hear. I try and minimise it, but it can be somewhat distracting. That's why me and Dave haven't recorded Turner Years in a while, because they must be able to tell when Dave's here, because literally they just won't start for hours. It's pretty bad. But enough about the dog, sorry. Mr. Price is talking about on Collision. Swerve had a match with Claudio Castagnoli. Don't get me wrong, Claudio, great wrestler, former Ring of Honor world champion. But what was the last high profile feud he was in? They need to put him over someone else big. And I know that, like, they'll get back to Hangman sooner or later. It's just one of those things. But right now, he has to establish, not dominance, but superiority. And I'm not saying put him in there against people like, you know, Top Flight or Evil Uno, or, you know, people that are definitely not going to win. But I do feel that it's quite possibly just one of the weird things. Just a weird thing that you can sit and think about, where, you know, you've made... Is this a case where they think they've made the guy, he's the champ, so now it doesn't matter? Do they think that one moment... And it was a great moment at the end of Dynasty. It was a great moment, but they can't stop just yet. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go ahead and talk about Friday, the draft. Do you know the worst thing about the draft? I can't remember a single thing. I thought the draft was a total non-event. Like, nothing major happened. And I'm not saying they need to swap the main titles. I did like the fact that the champions weren't eligible. I thought that was cool. You save yourselves from having to swap the belts over, but they've already done that. Fran the Cannon, sorry. It was an open challenge match, so you'd want someone to step up. He wasn't the next big feud for those, wouldn't you? I thought Swiss made sense, as there's a guy who would take an opportunity. That's true, but I think Swiss should have beaten him a bit quicker. I think he's giving people a little too much. Right now he needs to... He's proven he's the best, and then he's gone back to having 50-50 matches with people. I'm not saying he needs to squash him. I just think he needs to take a bit more of the match. You need to be a bit, not selfish, but you've got to protect that kind of investment made in yourself. I'm not saying that, like, Claudio's not a terrible... Like, Claudio's great. Claudio's one of my favourite wrestlers. I love him. But right now, he's not been anywhere near the top. He's always been in tag matches for a while. He should be... Like I said, don't squash the guy. He doesn't deserve that. But you need a little more. You need to be a little selfish just to cement yourself. Because if you don't cement yourself now, people look at you like it's a... Well, I always think of Hangman and Page's run. I always think that was a mistake, where he's not the main focus. And Swerve needs to be the main focus for a bit. Otherwise, this whole Elite versus Elite feud they've got going on will destroy it. Destroy the Swerve push, because it will take TV time, a lot of it. They need to be giving Swerve, you know, they need to be giving the microphone every chance they can. They need to be beating people just to make sure that when they need to bring him back in, that they can be like, oh, we're going to put Swerve back in the title match. It won't look like, oh, that's the guy that had a terrible run. And I know it's only been like a week, but you've got to be careful. So, the draft on SmackDown. I liked the fact that the champions couldn't be drafted. But then, what happened? I don't even remember. Like, a bunch of... Like, Baron Corbin was in the draft. And I'm like, all right, I suppose you've rehabbed him in NXT a bit. But come on. Like, I'm not saying you need to... Well, who was the biggest draft pick for everyone? Because I honestly can't remember anyone. I definitely saw the show. Like, it's... Why have a draft if you're going to do that? Like, the point of the... Like... Oh! We've got Ted saying it's not like Meltzer to go over the top with his star ratings for AEW. I don't get me wrong, like, I think it was 6.5 stars. It's like, yeah, fine, whatever. I've stopped paying attention to his star ratings. I was going to at one point when Ministry Slam was a thing. One of my ideas before Turner years was to watch every 5-star match that he'd ever given 5 stars to, and so if it stood up to today's scrutiny. But getting hold of them would have been a nightmare to begin with. So I put that idea in the back burner. Melo just smacked down. Did anybody else think Cody hurt himself? Or I really did. I thought he'd hurt himself during that match. Don't remember, there was some stuff happened, but they always advertised the drafts as a huge thing, and I thought you've kept mostly everybody like where they are. mostly. And I'm worried they're going to do Raw, have about four people change, and then release a supplemental draft on the website of about 50 people that you don't really care about. Ah, yes, the Scottish. We've got Corbin to SmackDown, and the Scottish Lassies moved to Elba Fire and Ilsa Dawn. Moving to Raw. Like I said, it's not like nothing happened, but it felt like nothing happened. The draft has always felt like this big, like, shift. Even when it was badly done, you know, your top guys would shift about and this had happened and that had happened. And it doesn't feel that way on this one. Maybe on Monday with 3 hours, they'll do a lot more of it. But right now, it just feels like, Did you have no plan for this? Like, no real, you know. Eddie Hickey, I do think Tozawa and Dupree should have gone to NXT. They may still, because you've still got Monday. We're only halfway through the draft. Why they don't run the draft as like an all-day network special, I'll never understand. Why they don't run the hot, like, I wouldn't put things past them to say, you know, yeah, they got drafted to Raw, but you could draft them away again. I mean, they've done that before. There was one year where they drafted John Cena to SmackDown, and then the last pick was also then drafting him back to Raw or something like that. It was hopefully they didn't do anything that stupid. Hopefully. But we'll see. I guess I can't really talk about the draft until I've seen the whole thing and I know where everyone is. You know, I mean, the draft, it's interesting, but we're only halfway through. Mr. Priceless, taking things from last week, Imperium, Vinci got quieted. Imperium, does Gunther need Imperium? Like, I don't think he does, and it's a shame because I think those guys can work. Fran the Cannon, I guess the big one on Monday is where Dragunov goes. Dragunov will go wherever Gunther is, I imagine. They have to be smart enough to know that could be a great SummerSlam match. Even if they just give him even half the time they gave to them in NXT UK. Because that guy, I don't get it. I don't get how he hasn't really hurt himself. I guess we shall see what's going on with Imperium. Sanity are doing something in the European Indies. They're the current Progress Tag Team Champions, as Mr. Priceless said. So I don't know what it is. The draft didn't do anything for me this year, and I'm usually well up for the draft, or at least seeing what WWE. You can usually by now. I guess it's a totally new team. Usually by now, you've got the feeling that one of the TV shows got destroyed. They got ripped out. I expected NXT to get raided. I expected like very few people to be left NXT. There were backstage rumors that people that people were expecting that they weren't going to get many people there. You know. But as I say, I'll talk about the complete draft next week after we've seen what happens on Monday. I'll run down everyone that moved, whether or not I think it's a good idea, what I think they'll do with whoever's there. Eddie Hickey, next draft, is Tez coming to Raw or SmackDown? Tez replies, I think I'd need about a decade in OVW before that. Do you want to go to OVW? Have you seen the Netflix show? Good show, though. But nice to see you here, by the way. But yes, it's a very, very interesting and weird thing to have half a draft done, then wait 2 days to get the next half of it. There's no real massive story from the draft so far to make me go, well, I've got to watch Raw to see what happens next. That's what I was expecting. And to me, the NXT, the OVW Netflix show was quite cool because there's a lot of I think some of it was staged for the benefit of the cameras, but there were some people there that were like, oh, you could do something. And then I was watching them more and thinking, oh, you're not mature enough to be higher up than you are right now. And there's the guy who's the money guy for OVW trying to get like sponsorship and advertising. But to do that, he's having to do deals with companies that Al Snow, who's running the booking side of it, is like, we shouldn't be doing that. That's not wrestling. And it's kind of a clash that way. It's kind of cool. It's not just like, can these guys make their dreams come true? There is that bit of it. But there's also a bit of a creative and business clash, which I really enjoyed. Eddie Hickey saying, really think about this. When NXT stars come to main event, they can ruin their careers like Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes. Why do I keep saying it? It's because of Corey Graves, but yeah, they could do, but I honestly think, like I said earlier, that I think Cameron Grimes will come back. It's just, you've got to have plans for these guys when you bring them in. You have to. And I cannot believe there wasn't something on SmackDown that was like a huge world-ending thing to make me go, I've got to watch Raw. I guess we'll see on Monday what happens. But after Monday, there will be only one more show, that being the next SmackDown, to promote WWE Backlash France, which happens next Saturday. So this is the last show we will have before that event happens. Now, I can imagine that this is not the completed card. I think you'll probably get something announced on Raw or something announced on SmackDown. We have 5 matches so far. The first of which that I want to talk about is Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline. And it's Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. There's no doubt who's going to win that. No doubt whatsoever. You don't bring in a new Bloodline. You don't establish that they're much more vicious. You need Solo Sikoa to win because he hasn't won a lot. He's been taking the pins. He's been taking the pins. So you need him to be crushing people now. I'm sure that Kevin Owens won't mind taking a pasting because I doubt they're going to want to pin Randy Orton. You need to make Bloodline the thing. Bloodline is going to be the thing, so you've got to reestablish them. I see this being brutal. I won't say fast because of who's in it. I don't see them squashing Randy Orton to get Tama Tonga over. But I could certainly see, it be maybe some blood or something like that. Then we've got the Kabuki Warriors of Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Mr. Priceless, actually talking about the last match, Mr. Priceless in the chat. Also a big point, Tama's WWE debut, big starting point. Imagine Tama pins Orton via the Gunstun, which is the RKO. Yeah. I can't see them letting him use one of the finishers of their great, like, if Randy was retired, then, you know, probably. But I can't, maybe you can say, like, I do it better than you, but you can't really say that when Randy's entire gimmick is, I can hit this out of anywhere. I think they'll try and give him something else. But it would be an interesting kind of thing. The second match for the Women's Tag Team Championships, the Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, this either goes one of two ways. They either allow Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill to win the Tag Team Championships, or there's a miscommunication and they end up kind of giving each other a stare down where it's like, well, you cost us that match. No, you cost us that match. Well, I'm the team leader. I'm the biggest. I'm the strongest. And you're not. So I've been here longer. Get behind me. Personally, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're just going to walk in and win. But it's a shame because, like, yes, do you want to continue Jade's rise? But once the Kabuki Warriors have lost, is that going to be it for something like Damage Control? You know, are they just going to turn into We Take the Pins? Because I like Bianca, I like Jade, or at least I like Jade's look. She's still got a fair way to go in the ring. But do they need the albatross that is the Women's Tag Team Championships behind them? Mr. Price says, poor Damage Control. If they lose, could it be a possible sign from if they get drafted? They can't get drafted. They already stated the champions. Oh, hang on. There is no women's tag team. They work both brands anyway, don't they? The draft will technically have ended before this event. They do work both brands. I don't know. I don't want them splitting up just yet. I want them to be like an occasional team. But I think you're going to end up with Bianca and Jade winning. I think they don't want to keep Jade on her winning ways. And, you know, Bianca's never been a tag champion, so give them that. Then we've got Bayley, the women's champion, versus Naomi, versus Tiffany Stratton. Wow, Tiffany Stratton's good. Like, she's got a good character. She can work in the ring. She's over. You know, Bayley's only got the championship, and I'm like, oh, but Tiffany could get it. It's a triple threat match. She's only got to pin Naomi. It's a bit of a weird one with the women's tag champions, Mr. Price, because you're not supposed to be able to. I suppose it doesn't really matter. They can make stuff up, but you're not supposed to. Fran the Cannon saying, keep the women's championship on Bayley. I agree. I think making her lose a month after she gets it at WrestleMania is a bad look. But I hope that. It's weird because I hope everyone here is kind of kept strong. I hope it's just a good match. And it should be with the people involved. I hope it's given time. I hope it's not just a rush. Mr. Priceless, Tiffy time soon. Maybe hold off for a few months. Maybe Queen of the Ring is a good shout. That'd be an excellent accolade for her to have. Hopefully when they make people King and Queen of the Ring, that's the next Saudi show, isn't it? Hopefully when they do that, they don't make them, you know, King and Queen. They've won the King of the Ring tournament. Don't make it their gimmick. I always hate that. It works on precisely like one person. I can't even think of that, but like, you know, they didn't make Stone Cold Steve Austin King Stone Cold, but it was like, you know, it's King Sheamus, King Barrett, and you were like, oh, it's just like, no, don't do it. So we'll see if they've learned. But see, King Woods was am I thinking of King Booker? Did King Booker become king because he won the King of the Ring? Or did he just decide one day he was a king? I can't remember into the, you know, 2007s or whatever it was. But that gimmick was all right for him at that time. I think that's the only guy I think he's ever really worked for. Didn't work for, like, King Haku. Didn't work for King Harley Race. Didn't work for King Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Yeah, if you make the King of the Ring, the King and Queen of the Ring get title shots, I'd put it on Tiffy and Gunther. But as you say, I think Bayley should keep it right now, because otherwise it looks a bit weak to have a win at Mania and lose a month later. Speaking of the exact same problem for the undisputed WWE Championship, sorry, for the World Heavyweight Championship, we've got Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. I don't get Yeet. Obviously, Yeet's massively over. I'm too old. He did not have a great match at Mania. He's come out and said as much. He was disappointed in the match. Which is a shame. You'd hope that he'd be happy with it, but he wasn't. And I've read somewhere that, you know, people were like, the spear he gave his brother during the main event running was better than the entire match at Mania, which I thought was a little rough. But considering it was brother versus brother, hatred of hatred and whatever, I thought that match wasn't great. It's a bit rushed. Apparently a little rushed for time, they said. But I can't see him defeating Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. I just can't. Because otherwise, having Damian win that belt at Mania is pointless. On the other hand, you could use it to play into the breakdown of the Judgment Day storyline, where there's a miscommunication and it costs Damian the title. You put the title on Jey Uso, so that then you've got Jey Uso babyface versus Drew McIntyre at Clash in the Castle. And, you know, Drew's going to get cheered no matter what. But at least for the people outside of that event and outside of this country, or you know, they'll have a clear babyface heel line. Jimmy cannot interfere. He's hurt as of right now. He's injured. They're not sure what the injury is, but he'll be out for some time. Again, I don't really see Jay winning, but on the outside chance they could do that. As you can tell, I'm never as sure with WWE events as I am with AEW ones. I'm usually more on who's going to win this match. I can tell. But with storylines involved, or like more multi-save storylines, I can never tell where they're going, which is good. And in the main event, we've got Cody Rhodes, the undisputed WWE champion, versus AJ Styles in what should be a good match. AJ tried to turn babyface on SmackDown, talking about, you know, I was mentored a bit by your dad when he was in, well, they didn't say TNA, but it would have been when he was in TNA, when he was probably TNA champion for the first time. But, and I mean no disrespect, but I'm so sick of everyone being like, oh yes, Dusty Rhodes. So yeah, but you're not facing Dusty Rhodes. And yes, I know that Dusty Rhodes, the mention of him gets under Cody's skin, but it's all anyone has ever done. And there's no way Cody should be losing. No way. So to me, you've got three tag matches which are foregone conclusions. A tag match that is a foregone conclusion, and they might keep the Women's Championship signed the Kabuki Warriors. Other than that, I think the rest of them are pretty sewn off. He definitely came across as less heel to me on SmackDown, did AJ, because he was talking about how he respects Cody Rhodes. You know, he just doesn't like LA Knight, which is cool. I like the idea that, like, I'm not really a bad guy. It's just I hate this one guy in particular, because that always means you can come back to that feud and it will always have a bit more of a bit more spark to it. They did something similar. I mean, to be fair, one of them was just a straight bad guy, but they did something similar in the late 80s with a tag team called Strikeforce, which was Tito Santana and Rick Martel. And they broke up, and ever since then, even into like 93, 94, any time there was like a Royal Rumble, they'd like be in the ring together and they'd immediately go after each other, and it would just be like, that's their thing. They still haven't forgotten that from 5 years ago. Similar to what Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn keep doing, where they feud with each other, then they're friends, and then they feud with each other, and then they're friends. They've kept a through line. Mr. Price says, one became a matador, one became a model. Exactly. Poor Tito Santana, man. The matador gimmick was, to be honest, the model, I quite liked the model gimmick. I thought the model gimmick was alright. El Matador Tito Santana was just, it wasn't a good idea. I get what they were going for, but I hated it. But yeah, I think you could easily play off like, I'm not a bad guy, but I hate LA Knight. So anytime in the ring with LA Knight, I'm going to be a bad guy. I mean, we haven't announced an LA Knight match for Backlash yet. There's no IC title match or US title match. I'm assuming they're coming. But for now, to me, it's quite a predictable card. Despite having, I'm just coming up with different ideas. Eddie Hickey could interfere in the main event. He could, and I've no doubt that this crowd will be really hot and really loud. But if you do that in the main event and the guy gets like a DQ finish or something, they're going to go sour. Fan the cannon. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy. Owens, Reigns, now Styles. And then Mr. Price says, I thought you were going to say the Roman, I'm not a bad guy or a good guy, I'm the guy line. And then you read my mind. Well, that's not quite what I was going for. I was merely going for, with this one exception, I'm a good guy. Until then. That was a great line for Roman at that time, but very strange capacity to I'm sure this card will be good. I'm sure a couple more matches will be added to it. I'm sure the crowd will love it. I certainly enjoyed Clash of the Castle when I was there. I hope they get something. I hope they get a match the level of, you know, Sheamus versus Gunther. I hope that there's an amazing match on there that people go, that was worth spending my hard-earned euros on, so that they can turn France into another area that they can have big shows in. Because, well, they do tours of Europe and they do a couple of shows in France. I'm really enjoying this whole, like, you know, last year's Backlash was in Puerto Rico. Then there's Bash of Berlin coming on. And this show, I'm loving the idea of like so-called secondary shows just take place in front of hotter crowds because they don't often get wrestling. But in that case, you've got to give those people events. Something happened at this event. They can't just be big, impressive house shows. I guess we shall see. Personally, I'd possibly change the IC belt. I'd give Chad Gable the IC title. I don't think that I've never thought that Sami Zayn needed it, but I think if you're going to cement sorry, Awesome Truth versus La Resistance. Oh God, why would you wish Rene Dupree on me? Or for that matter, was it Robert Conway at that time? Mr. Price is saying Sheamus wins, maybe SummerSlam after Drew, maybe. Are we talking the IC title? With that, Mr. Priceless, are we talking the IC title with Sheamus winning? I don't think you can't lower Drew back down to the IC belt. He's a world title guy now. If there's anything that Sami Zayn's winning has proven, they're going to treat the IC title like a mid-card belt again. I feel. Yes, Sheamus versus Drew is definitely happening soon. That could be added to this card, and that'd be, to use a term, a banger. Yeah, then they've got significant like people that just aren't being used yet. Feels like a bit early to preview this card, but unfortunately, there's a good possibility I won't be able to come back and do it at a later date before the show. I've got to try and remember that it takes place at, is it 6 p.m. in this country? Which is going to be great because it's happening in Lyon, France. They keep showing the Eiffel Tower and stuff, and it's like, nope, that's not Lyon. But Mr. Price, that Raw promo was a good hoot, a banger, or a hell of a burger. Yep, I mean, they're pushing each other's buttons. I felt bad for Sheamus when he came back, and he was a little out of shape, but he said they called me back up when I wasn't expecting it, and I hadn't really cut the weight that I needed to cut, and people railed him, and he just went with it. He was like, yeah, fair play, I wasn't in the best shape as I could have been. I felt bad for him. I thought, well, he's already looking like he's dropping loads of it. Speaking of someone who's sitting there being like, I need to drop some weight, he's a bit of an inspiration to be able to do that. But I think the crowd reactions on this show are going to be the reason to tune in. I think don't get me wrong, everyone will work hard. This won't be like a throwaway thing, but I think quite a lot of it is you don't beat Cody Rhodes. To me, you don't beat Damian Priest. You don't beat Bayley. The women's tag team championship matches up for grabs, and the Bloodline need to establish themselves. So most of your card is predetermined. Not to give away my picks on the Predictions League, by the way. Well done, Mr. Priceless, by the way. You beat me by correctly guessing the exact number of near falls in the final match. I watched that live, and I was watching the points go up, and I was like, "Oh, I've cleared it. I don't think there's any way anybody can win." That isn't me. And then you did it. So congrats. I'm not at all jealous. Eddie Hickey saying it's like the Chamber in Perth. It's too predictable. That is true, and the thing about this one, there is no big French star for them to rally around. There is no equivalent of Rhea Ripley. Do they have anyone who's professed to be French right now? I can't think of anyone. But it's a very, very weird and strange thing to sit here and think, oh, most of these are done. Mr. Priceless, Le Baron Corbin, Le Pete of Dunway. Some time ago during the last time they were in France where Baron Corbin had turned into like a meme wrestler in France for some reason. Some YouTuber had turned into like not like a joke, but let's all cheer Baron Corbin, it'd be funny. And you got like massive reactions for the entire tour, and so maybe they're counting on that again. Who knows? And of course, after the draft on Monday, we could know other stuff's happening. I shall endeavour to let people know what's going on. But I believe that's going to have to be me for the evening. It's been my pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for hanging out. I've really appreciated it. They could bring Maurice in. They could... I suppose France is going to be okay with French Canadians. So maybe Kevin Owens is going to be super over. Or you know, if they do bring... the IC title over, you know, maybe that'll be a big hometown thing. Yeah, they'll think of something. They're not stupid. It's just a weird. I hope there's a couple of other matches announced where I don't quite know what's happening. But that's gonna have to be me for the evening, I'm afraid. I've ran through two cards loosely, but I have ran through them. I've given you the best news I can find, or the most interesting news I can find, and it's been about an hour and 46 minutes. I'm sure you're sick of the sort of my voice by now. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon.